Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Preacher, The Miracle Man, here on this Tuesday, January 15th of 2019. And we're so glad to have you, wherever you may be, on whatever device you may be listening to this program on. And my prayer, folks, my prayer tonight is that you, folks, would receive everything that God has for you tonight. That as we get in the Word and as we discuss things, as we go about the show, that you'll receive everything that God has for you. I believe in a God of miracles. I really do. And we believe in miracles here at Miracle Man. And that means it's going to be awesome. Listeners, I want you to tell other people how they can be a part of the show. They can listen to it too. It's free to come on board and listen. And you guys are a great advertisement, listeners. I want you to go around, tell people how they can be a part. That's why I take a couple minutes and tell you folks how you can tell people. So what you do is you go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio.com, all one word. Once you get on the website, you'll see a search bar. In that search bar, you want to type in Upfront Entertainment. Once again, that's Upfront Entertainment. After you've typed that in, you'll see a link that says Live in Large. We want you to click on that link. Once you get on there, and then after you've clicked on it, on the link, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. We want you to click that, hit that button. And then there's a follow button, which we want you to hit, because then once you do that, you're going to start getting notified how you can be a part of this great show. You're going to start getting notified when we get ready to do our shows. For example, tomorrow night, 6:30, same deal. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6:30, same deal. We generally, the Miracle Man runs Monday through Wednesday between 6:30 and no later than 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is when it cuts off, depending on how busy we are, the amount of content I have to get to kind of determines how it is. Like last night was very full. Generally, we get pretty close to it, like within 5 or 10 minutes. But so if you want an idea, generally it's 6:30 to 8 that we run this program. So that's what you'd be able to tell people. Please remember, it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. And we really believe that. Or any smart device, for that matter. And you want to know something cool? All the episodes we've done, I've done like over 250 shows now. And they're archived. You can go back there on the website and listen to some of the other shows that I've done. You can listen to them Well, maybe while you're on your way to your drop your kid off at basketball practice, you can listen to him at work, or maybe listen to him while you're. I'll just say working on that certain resolution you might have made. I'm not going to say the word workout, because I feel like sometimes when people say the word workout, they kind of flinch and are like, what? Do I really have to go? Like, I'd be like, you do. I just want to sit here and eat a donut. I'd be like, I just want to sit here and eat this donut that has peanut butter cups on it. I mean, I wish there was a lot of good donuts that had peanut butter cups on them, because peanut butter cups on a donut would be so heavenly. And I don't care whether they're broken up peanut butter cups or if they're full Reese's peanut butter cups. I want one of you guys to tweet me. I have a Twitter, River Shukla. Follow River Shukla, RYVERSSHUKLA. Plenty of guys knows where there's a peanut butter cup donut. Tweet me. Or Facebook me, Rivers Joel Shukla, and let me know. Because I really want a peanut butter cup donut. You know, if you want a peanut butter cup and you want a donut, instead of having them both separate, why not have it together? Right, Cassidy?
Right.
Wouldn't you want them both together? Peanut butter cup on a donut?
Yes.
That, see, even one of my helper agrees that you know, but still, nonetheless, we do have, so you can be a part that way by going back and listening to the old shows, wherever you are, as long as you have a good internet connection. We also have a telephone number where you can call in and we can talk. About generally whatever you want to talk about. And if you need prayer, go ahead and call in and I'll pray for you. And I don't care what it is. If you need prayer, just go ahead and call in and I'll be more than happy to pray for you. Especially if you believe in God for a miracle in your life, or a member of your family, or someone you know, but you're just believing God to do something. Maybe it's get someone saved, maybe it's get someone healed of something, delivered. Because we totally believe in miracles here at Preacher Man. I mean, at Miracle Man. And I said that few minutes ago, but please God, that number to call in and talk to me is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then press 1, and after you press 1, you'll be taken through a call screener, and then my assistant won't answer the phone, and then you'll wanna tell her who you are and where you're from, so that I can best identify you, and then I'll say, you're on the Miracle Man show. How are you doing tonight? And then after that, you have the floor. And generally, you can say anything you want. Talk about anything you want, as long as it's not politics. If it's politics, I'm going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you. Now, for those of you who are wondering, Miracleman, why won't you let us talk about politics? Well, I am very much in tune with what's going on in this country. There are several good talk shows that I choose to listen to that are very good, very informative, and at times they take callers. If you want to talk politics with a radio guy person, why not call one of them? Because I'm just going to tell you to pray over your country. That's how it is, because we focus more here on God and the Word of God and sports. And yes, we talk about food some and some things like that. And we are going to talk about cars a little bit. And thinking about having but yeah, it's going to be awesome. And so hopefully we can get some great callers tonight. All right. So the what am I going to get to first? Reminder. Actually, a couple things. Number one, bacon, cheesy bacon fries launch at McDonald's on January 30th. And I hope there's a lot of bacon and a lot of cheese in there. I don't want it to be this dinky El Cheapo, I mean very little cheese. I want that nice liquid cheese that they give you at the Spoon at Invasion. I actually like that liquid cheese. I know they say it's not real cheese, but who cares? Don't you like that liquid cheese, Cassidy? Don't you just love that liquid cheese? Or Rachel? Yeah, I love that liquid cheese. I do. It is. I'm looking forward to it, to see what it's like. In addition, they are going to start having donut sticks in about a month or so as well. And I'm at a different McDonald's today. I'm over at the McDonald's on 4925 Eastman Avenue. You're coming north on Eastman from Saginaw Road or points south of that. We are on the left side of the road if you're coming north, right-hand side of coming south. And we're kind of in the back of the restaurant. I'm in here doing the show. Okay. But anyhow, there's another thing I want to bring up. North American International Auto Show is this weekend. Starts this next weekend in Detroit. It's actually already started, but the first few days of it are just for the press and the media. And people with credentials, which I do not have. It starts Saturday the 19th, goes to Sunday the 27th. Cobo Center, downtown Detroit. It's the biggest auto show the biggest car show in North America. And not only is there a lot of vehicles there, there's also an exhibit, I understand, on flying cars. They're on a flying car. I could see flying cars coming, folks. I don't think it's just something you saw in Flubber or some of those other movies. Or some of these movies. I tell you, I watched some of those movies back in the late 90s, and based on those, because I remember seeing them in like 1997, 1998, and 1999, and I would have thought for sure we'd have them flying cars by now. We don't. It could be coming.
Right.
I hope these actually become a reality. I do. But autonomous, but for the next couple of minutes here, I'm going to talk about not the flying airplanes, but these flying cars. No, these autonomous cars. Now, these ones I'm thinking about do not fly. They're on land. And they're going to start coming out in the next, I would say, 5 years. Some sooner than others, of course. But my dad works at General Motors, and General Motors is kind of on the forefront of this, and they're doing a lot with this artificial intelligence type stuff. And here's how I see it working. I think at least at first. Wait a minute. Did I just hear you guys still have a holiday pie? But sorry, I was just talking to one of the workers, and they were saying something about, you know, I'm still having holiday pies, and by the way, I love those things. I think they're from heaven. I think Jesus gave someone the recipe. I do. Okay, maybe not, but they are very, 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 very good. And they really are tasty. Yes. But back to the cars. At first, at least. Hello. What's the deal with the coffin? But anyhow, these autonomous cars. Here is how I see it working. I think at first it'll be able to kind of drive on its own, but I think you'll probably be able to tell it or somehow put into it, you know, where you want it to take you. I think at first you're going to have to guide it and be able to steer it and do some things like that. I think eventually, the more, as time goes on, as better autonomous vehicles come out, more technology comes out, I think it'll become more and more autonomous. So that eventually, it'll be able to, for the most part, be able to take you where you want to go. But that would be a long ways off. I think at first, the first autonomous cars will be a lot manual, but also a lot autonomous. Over time, I think that'll slowly shift. Don't you? I think it'll shift a little bit. I do. And I'm looking forward to see where this takes us. In addition, tomorrow night, I think I'll talk about electric vehicles. Let me just check the time. Okay. We're going to pray. But first, let me tell you the plan real quick. We're going to pray. After that, we're going to go to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to take a look at that. And then after that, we're going to go to Luke 11, Hebrews 11, and the first two verses of chapter 12. After that, we're going to exhort about what I read you in the Word of God. And after that, we're going to talk some sports. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this program tonight. I thank you for these listeners who have made the choice to be a part of this great program, wherever they are. Thank you that you bless these people. You bless these people, Lord God, and you be with them as they receive this word from you tonight. I thank you, Father, that you know what all of these people have need of. And I thank you that, Lord God, that you multiply to the meeting of the need. That you multiply to the meeting of the need. Amen. And Lord, I thank you that you use me tonight as an oracle, as we take this time to read about you and who you are. I confess over the show right now that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that big increases in listener audience are coming to this program, as we're believing to, at very minimum, double the audience that listens to this show this year. And most importantly, Lord, I claim that many salvations take place on this radio program. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 3. We discussed Ruth last night about how she went to go work for Boaz after she moved with her mother-in-law to Bethlehem. And if you're wondering, of course, Ruth is in the Old Testament. I just want to encourage you now. Don't just sit there and watch. Join in and be a part. If I sing, you sing. If we pray, you pray. Well, I've got the Bible open, so why don't you be a part and study with us? Amen. Luke 3. Ruth, we're going to Ruth 3. As soon as I find it, we're going to start reading. And I'm going to begin with verse 1. One day, Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz with their servant girls you have been a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but do not let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lays down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I'll do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking, and he was in good spirits, he went over to lay down at the far end of the grain field. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet. Just turning the page. She uncovered his feet and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned, and he discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman. Remember?" "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. For the night and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good. Let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, "Do not let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." Verse 15 now. He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything that Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." You know what? We're going to go to chapter 4, and we're going to read this also. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemed him, redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend. You sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders from the town and said, "Sit here." And they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to your brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of those seated here, in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so that I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you. And I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day that you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabitess, and I acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead of his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You'd redeem it yourself. I can't do it." Now, in earlier times, in Israel, the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders of all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all of the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead of his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem." through the transferring the Lord gives you to this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom taught love to Judea. The genealogy of David. Then Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said, Samai, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and will remain in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David, who then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Aminadab. Aminadab was the father of Nashon, who was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, and Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. All right. Hebrews 11. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to fix something real quick. I just think about the goodness of God all the time. He is always so good to us, all the time. Yes, he is. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 11. We're going to start with verse 1. Just got to go back just a little bit further. Here we go. You just check my clock. Oh, this is good. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is said was not just made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man, who God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, it is possible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of him, of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, wasn't able to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, when he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But When the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. First two verses of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. 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 All right. All right. Now, so was one of those believers that came long before us. She came before the New Testament. Yep, she came before, long before the New Testament. All those other people that we read about tonight, David and all the others, they also came before the New Testament. Now that's just something to consider. And God commended these people like Isaac, Jacob, and all of the many others that Paul in there wrote about. Now, about Ruth. So, when we look at chapter 3, something happens. Naomi says to Ruth, "Hey, Ruth, wouldn't you be, don't you think you'd feel better if maybe you were at your own place with, and that you possibly got married?" And then she told him how to do it. And in the course of time, Ruth, the same person who had went and worked for Boaz, she goes to the threshing floor, and then in the course of time, she ends up marrying Boaz. Yep, she ends up marrying Boaz. And Boaz and Ruth end up buying the property. That yes, they end up buying that Naomi and the family's their property. Because the Redeemer would not buy it. And back in those days in Israel, you know, like a means of legalizing those types of transactions, deeds, they did it by taking off the sandals. That's just how they did it back then. It wasn't like how we do the handshake and other places do other things as means of agreeing to a contract. You know, here we agree to a contract by a shake of the hand. But other countries do it differently. This isn't a lesson about other countries. We're talking about the Bible. So, Ruth ends up marrying Boaz. God sees Ruth, opens up her womb. She gives birth to Boaz. No. She gives birth to Obed. And then at the end of it, talks a little bit about the genealogy. Obed became the father of Jesse. Jesse became the father of David. So Boaz would have been David's great-grandson. If it weren't for that, I don't know that David would have been born. And you think about this. Now, tomorrow night, when we come, we are going to continue forward. We're going to be talking about Samuel and David. But Samuel as a boy, and then Samuel, he became a king. You know, it's cool to look at these Old Testament Bible stories because it's not always just about us and this time. Plus, shows you too. Miracles were not something that Jesus came up with. Yes, Jesus did miracles, but there were miracles before Jesus came. You know, provision and other things, but we are going to tomorrow start looking at Samuel and how God used him. And Preacher Man at one point actually told me that the story of Samuel is one of Futrillion's favorites. And guess what, folks? I don't think it's because his name is Samuel. How Futrillion his name is. No, but I mean, Sam. But you know, I at one point had a guinea pig. I was like 10, and I got a guinea pig for Christmas, and I decided to name him Samuel. And at that time, I've been learning a lot about Samuel in the Bible, what he was like. And I thought he was a really cool guy. So I decided to name my guinea pig after Samuel. Now, the guinea pig lasted for a few months, and then he ended up dying. Nothing I did. I don't know what exactly happened, but I just know that my guinea pig, Samuel, died. I wanted a guinea pig because a friend of mine had a guinea pig, and I had only known about that guinea pig since early that November, and this is almost 20 years ago now, closer to 19, you know, at Christmas it'll be 20 years, but that part of it doesn't matter, but Ruth, she truly loved Boaz. And Boaz loved Ruth. And Ruth cared so much about helping her mother-in-law. You know, we love people. You know, if you claim to be a Christian, but you're not helping people who you know and love, that is not very Christ-like. And Dr. Barclay said something that I'm about to say. Worldly people, those are selfish, care about themselves. Christian people think about everyone else. They do. Yes, they do. And, you know, she cared about her mom. She wanted to make sure that her mom had food and that her mom was her mother-in-law had food in that. That's just how she was. She was just an awesome person. She really was. All right, let's talk about this faith stuff. So, we read just a little bit ago, Hebrews 11 and 12. Hebrews 11, first two verses of 12. As part of it, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Try to please God without having faith. You won't be able to. Here's why. for one thing, faith is this, trust in the Lord. You know, you can't please the Lord unless, you can't please the Lord if you don't trust him. It's as simple as that. You can't. Go try it. It's not going to work. No, it's not going to work. So, you got to follow him and be obedient. And I think of all these different characters in there where Jesus, where it says, by faith, Jacob. By faith, you know, Moses' parents. By faith, such and such. By faith, you know, Israel and the Red Sea. And when the Egyptians tried to do it, they were drowned. And what have you? And God wants us to live for him. And as we've been reading those stories about Jesus, all the miracles he did, very multiple times, Jesus said to his disciples things like, "Oh, you of little faith," as well as things like, "Why did you doubt me?" He wanted to know, you know, why do you lack faith? You know, you do all this stuff with me. You go with me. You accompany me when I preach. But you doubt me. You've doubted me various times when I've done a miracle. When I calmed the storm. By the way, Thomas, he missed just one church service. But it was must have been a very, 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 very important church service. Do you think you skipped it to stay home and watch football? You do?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't do it to watch football. You were supposed to say no. There was no there was no football. There was no football back then. There was no football back then.
I don't need to know that.
Sorry.
It's okay.
My point, though, is, folks, my point to you is this.
Oh, you weren't being too loud, Rick.
I know. I was just saying.
I was just messing with you.
My point is, there was no football and stuff like that back then. He just chose to not be there, and he chose to doubt God about something. And Jesus said, "If you have faith in me and do not doubt, that you will have abundance in me." You got to have faith if you're going to please him. Just like how you believe in God to heal your body, one of the things you have to do is, yes, you got to forgive your brother. Yes, you have to, you know, stop holding working hedges and that. But how are you going to do that if you don't have faith in God? In Mark 11:23, it specifically says, have faith in God. You have to. you want to please him, if you want to serve Jesus with everything you have to have faith. Faith isn't just for your healing. Faith isn't just for your miracle. Yes, we all have needs. We all have things we desire. Faith isn't just for that, for those. It takes faith to live today, folks. It does. So, we have to have faith in God. And he wants to help us. But we have to trust him that he will do what he said in his word. He will do it. And if you want any insurance, God keeps his word. He keeps it more than any human will. I mean, I'm not saying we're all bad. I'm just saying when God says, I will do this, he means it. Amen and amen and amen. He can always take his word seriously because he means it. You just have to trust him. You have to. All right, we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the sports update. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great program tonight. I thank you for these listeners who have made the decision to live for you with everything they have. I just thank you for this time we had in your word, for everything you're doing, Lord Jesus, on this radio program. I call these people blessed, and I just thank you that you are moving mightily on their behalf. And Lord, I thank you. I pray right now that any one of these people listening to this program that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they will call in right now and give their life to you, Jesus, to live for you and not live for themselves anymore. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, in terms of sports, in basketball news, the Detroit Pistons last night fell to the Utah Jazz 109-104. Blake Griffin did lead all scores for the Pistons with 19 points. And Andre Drummond did record another double-double, 15 rebounds, 14 points. He's been having a lot of double-doubles for the last couple of years. I just wish that we'd be winning a lot more of those games. I really do. Pistons will be home tomorrow night at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. Duke, the number one ranked team in America, college basketball, they were upset last night by Syracuse. I forget what Syracuse was ranked, but Duke, who was ranked number one. I think this might be Duke's first loss. and I'll get, but they all ranked number one. Michigan was ranked number two. They're still undefeated, but depending on what happens in this Michigan's next game, they will very likely, if they win, will be the new number one. The new number one for the first time in 5 years, which is pretty crazy stuff. And that Chrysler Arena has been packed this year. It's been sold out almost every home game. And it's been pretty impressive to see. Michigan State's been doing awesome too, though, as they only have two losses. Number six. They were ranked number six, and they're still number six at this time. They might move up, or they might not. We'll have to wait and see. They play on Thursday night against Indiana, I believe. But I'll look that up and have that for you tomorrow. College football. The former Alabama offensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator that's been at Alabama recently, he's transferring to Michigan. He's coming to Michigan. And I think Michigan football is going to be in good hands with this guy. I really do. I think you're going to see our offense improve. I think you're going to see, I really do. I think we're going to find ways to beat, to win these other really important games, like to beat Notre Dame, to beat Ohio State. They won all the middle games, everything in between, but they didn't beat Ohio State. And when you're not beating Ohio State, that just makes it harder. But they had an awesome season, though, and I was very proud of them. Very proud of Shea Patterson and what he did for the team. It was an awesome year. It's down there in Ann Arbor, they're really getting it going. They're knowing this is U of M. And do I think they could do what Florida did 10, 11 years ago and win both the football and college basketball championship back to back? It's possible. It's possible. Could happen. Am I saying it will? Who knows? And on football, we'll have to beat that team down south first, because they always tend to be in the way, even though they won't have Urban Meyer anymore. I forget the name of the new guy they're having, but I'm sure he'll do good for them. And he'll have them where they need to be. Yes, I want them to be successful. I just want Michigan to beat them first. I just want Michigan to be able to beat them. So Michigan's undefeated. That team down south of us is undefeated. That happened in 2006 at one point. Yes. Did Michigan win? No, that other team did. I'd like to see that happen soon, but we have Michigan and that other team undefeated. Only this time have us beat them. Well, Miracle Man, in Columbus or in Ann Arbor? I don't care. Now this next year they'll be in Ann Arbor. 2020 they'll be in Columbus. But I do love Ohio, to be honest with you folks, but for the case of the rivalry, you know, and I'm talking about on the show, I just say that team down south. Because, you know, down there, what they say to Michigan, they just say that team up north. And you want to know something, folks? At one time, that coach down there, you know, U of M is only like 44 miles or something, 42 miles maybe, or something like that, from the state border. And that coach took advantage of that by saying, I am not going to put gas in my gas tank in that place, that state up north, referring to here. This was back in the 1970s. And he said that. But I don't know if he followed through with that or not. I bet you he did a lot, most of the time, because, you know, he only had to come up here every other year. So I'm sure he made sure that there was enough gas, at least to get him from Toledo to Ann Arbor and then back to Toledo, even though you would still have to go a couple more hours south, at least to Toledo, Ohio. Okay. NFL, real quick. Tomorrow, I am going to pick the games. I'm thinking a coin flip is going to be like likely. If I do a coin flip tomorrow night, and I think the Super Bowl is going to be, but I think the Super Bowl is going to be close, and I don't know what to pick, I might have to think of a new game. So maybe it'll be something to do with the groundhog. Who knows? Might be something we see outside, maybe. Well, that'll determine. Based on maybe something we see where if... we'll come up with something. But it's Patriots at Chiefs. Is the nightcap. The day cap is Saints. It is Saints hosting the Rams. There's a pattern I want to mention. This year, in the playoffs, in championship weekend, you have Three of the four programs have not been here in at least 9 years. Saints were last here in 09. The Rams were last here in 2001. And, no, 2003, actually. The Chiefs, they have not been here since like 1992 at the latest. Even in 93, they lost before this stage. Oh, yeah, 90, that's right. 1993, they did lose before this. So I believe it was like 1991 or something. Like 27 years. So a lot of parity. Last year, Jacksonville Jaguars, they hadn't been here since 19 seasons before, 18 seasons before that, so in 99. Patriots have, obviously, nothing new. Eagles hadn't been there in, like, 5 or 6 years, I think. But then the Patriots No, not the Patriot. The Vikes, they had last been there in 09. So as you see, there's a lot of parity. A lot of parity. That is why it is so hard to tell who is going to make it this far in a given year. Will it be Atlanta? Well, Jacksonville surprised a lot of people. Does it? So you're thinking, Miracle Man, does this give you hope for the Lions for next year? To that I say, it depends on how we draft, for one thing. And if it depends on if we can trade up from some good players who can stay healthy. If we can do those things, I think we will be able to compete with the Bears and the Vikes and the Pack in this division, and as well as hopefully win some playoff games. There has been a lot of parity. I'll do some more math on this and we'll look deeper into this between now and the Super Bowl. So, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you tomorrow.